Blog Talk Radio.
Well, Mother is a message. Got to get the message to our brothers and sisters.
Share one mind through a vision of our future. While
Alafia. Greetings and Hotep. Welcome to the Care to Read Room. You have your Omi Inca 7 live here. I am your emperor, the one that is here to serve you. I am also your advocate, the one you need, and the advisor, the one you want. So how is everyone? And I hope you had a great weekend, and you are ready for another segment of Care to Read. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, we're bringing you right into another episode of Rescuing the Babies from the Bench. Join us as we have our discussion, Babies from the Bench, Visitation, and Infant Toddlers. We're going to be talking to you from a perspective of what is best for babies. And we will also be having an attorney join us in approximately another week. She confirmed today to come on board to talk to us about various different aspects of law. Today we're going to have a new gentleman that will be filling the spot in the business sector for us, and that will be up under Family Life Education. And Mr. Ron Thomas comes to us by way of Linwood, Illinois, and he is a co-host and had been a recent co-host of his own television late night show for Christian Ministry. And he recently has been an author and writing a book on business aspects and what to expect in entrepreneurs. He's going to be heading up our avenue in talking about entrepreneurism, setting up your own business, how to design corporations, and the best indication for someone who would like to write a book. He will be discussing chapters from his book this evening. He'll be coming on board a little bit later this evening, so you definitely want to set your dial so that you're here to listen to one of the most fantastic co-hosts coming out of Chicago, Illinois, by way of Linwood, Illinois as well. He has co-hosted for many years. I was on his show and saw the need to bring him and give him a permanent spot here on our show to head up our business aspect. And we want to welcome Ron Thomas Jr. to our staff, because he will be bringing the real heat to us about the real aspect of business. He is a professional. He speaks around the world, a lecturer, as well as a coaching spiritualist. So you can rely on him to bring you information that is definitely needed. And ladies and gentlemen, I want to stop right now and slow it down a little bit, and I'm going to call in that train so they can take me out of here and get myself together so I can be ready for this show. If you just give me a few minutes here, because you know we're getting ready to go right into our talking cure. We're going to do a little libation here. I'm not going to be able to get my drummers in here real quick, but I did say I wanted to bring those drummers because it's very important that I talk to you about how it is important to include drumming into your ministry, into your praise and worshiping, because it will definitely bring the zawutis, the gifts, to you. So here we go with our drums. Please stand erect and ready for getting into the talking cure as we play the drums. Back family, and thank you for joining us. We're going to have our chat room open this evening. For those of you who would like to be a part of that chat room, we're going to ask you to go in and have a seat, and we'll be right with you in our chat room. And hopefully you'll be able to see us and hear us. So I'm going to bring you right up on the screen. So if you're out there and you want to come in the chat room, it is now open. I will also tell you that there's a few different things that are going on in our new Care to Read room with our 120 clock hours. We are now going to be featuring those attorneys that will be in our room under the attorney at law, and they will be coming in periodically to speak on different topics. As well as we've added our new aspect of business entrepreneur under the topic of family life education. Brother Ron Thomas Jr. will be heading up that segment of our show. He will be bringing us featured information from his new published book that he has written in reference to dealing with entrepreneurism, the types of businesses, the types of incorporation, and he'll be reading excerpts from his book this evening. He will be able to give you more input on the chapters and titles of the book and give us that information around 7 o'clock at the high noon hour. So you want to definitely set your radio or your screen so that you're in the place to be. We're inviting all you chat room listeners to come in, and you can definitely chat through typing in your information, or you can call into the line. And you can go right into Blog Talk Radio Station, looking up Care to Read Room up under Omi Inca 7. So we invite you in. Ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to prepare ourselves for prayer. And we know how important prayer is in this room. And because we have other guests that are going to be featured, we're going to have to play this game a little bit more tightly close so that we can get ready to make sure the time is here and allotted for our additional speakers that will be with us. And ladies and gentlemen, we are fortunate and blessed to be able to offer this service to our additional speaking team right now to come on board with us free of charge to help these people get on their feet, ladies and gentlemen, because we're trying to provide a variety of programs. And this is a special segment just for this month, to bring these people on to give you a chance to see what a full, well-rounded program can be. Yes, and we are getting ready for the Talking Cure. For those of you who would like to know, please come right in. The Talking Cure room is open, and we are about to go over and position for prayer. We are calling everyone to prayer. So if you're not already in the position for prayer, you need to get ready, and position yourself for prayer, because it is important that we stop and acknowledge our higher selves. I'm going to walk over right now. You can walk with me. And I hope you will synchronize your vital signs as I synchronize mine as we get ready to position ourselves with our hands facing up, looking up towards not the heavens, but the atmosphere where our energy comes from, hoping that God will allow us to reconnect with Him and minister to us and give us newfound information. And ladies and gentlemen, I don't know about you, but I can't make it through the day without a prayer to my higher self and to show my gratification. I am very grateful for the few things so that God can give me many. Positioning yourself for prayer, we ask you to synchronize your vital signs as I synchronize mine, stopping and resting and thinking of the cares of the day, breathing in and out. Breathing in the oxygen of pure energy from God, the excellent, and breathing out frustration and breathing out confusion. Breathing in and out, relaxing our vocal cords and resting ourselves on nothing but the Creator. Father, we humble ourselves to you today, asking that you will use us in your plan. We know that man planned, but God is the best of planners. In your infinite wisdom, God, show us our way back to your directions and your guidance. Help us to understand that we have been bought with a price. We are not our own, and we owe a debt to society for saving us and having mercy upon us and giving us favor. Father, we thank you for every opportunity that we have on these airways. Help us not to be slowful in being reminded that because of Blog Talk, we have been gifted to be able to come on here unmolested. Father, we pray for those that are on their way in the lagoon. We pray for those who are still in the Pacific Ocean. We pray for those ancestors that are traveling through the Stratus, that are traveling through the good ship Jesus. We pray for those ancestors who are still stuck out there in the Red Sea. May they find their way home, and may they reconnect with their mothers and their fathers. And we know that circle of life never leaves us. We know that that child can never die. It is reborn again. That elder can never die. The elder is recycled again into that child. As we complete the circle of life, Father, help us to be mindful that energy is a frequency, and that all of our loved ones go back to the form of energy, and that we are not serving flesh and blood, but we are seeking to know spirit. Put no faith in the arms of a man or woman. Let us put our faith in the spirit of the Almighty Great One, Ola Dunamare, who we acknowledge in his manifestation of many, many excruciating beings being ratified in fire, in spirit, in energy. We know that because of the ratification, we cannot engage in activities with the creator and maker of this universe. However, God has sent us Ola Dunamare, who is our great ancestor that works directly with us here on this earth, who has also given us Ori, who is our Godhead. Let us be mindful, if we are to have good success, if we are to prosper, we are to thank our Ori. Our Ori is the lesser God in a manifestation of God, not in the full totality, but likening that unto a drop of water unto the ocean. Father, we must understand that God comes with many manifestations. If you have not already done so, go to your altar. Make sure all nine glasses of your glasses are filled so that the energy level will vibrate at a frequency. Now, will you go with me as I pour a glass of water? But before I do that, I want to wash my hands and face and elbows so that I do not enter into the courts of the holiest of holies with my ancestors with a stale face. As I put the water on my face and elbows, I make sure that my face is not stale as I greet my ancestors. Now I pour water to the ground so that I will sensitize this area, and I would consider it as hollow, set aside to be this particular area, so that whenever you come here, you will know the holiness and the actual set aside. And I say Ashe. I like to pour a glass of water for my father's spirit, who has been so graceful in coming home to join us and reuniting with his family. I say, Father, drink the water and grow strong. Ashe. Mother, come quickly, and may you take up the substance, and may you grow young again, and may you be forevermore endowed with a quenched thirst. And I say, Ashe. I pour libations to the east, and I look towards the east, and I say, Ashe. I look towards the west, and I say, Ashe, family, Ashe. I look towards the north and I say, Ashe, welcome home, family. I look towards the south and I say, Ashe. As we look down towards Egypt, I say, Ashe. Ladies and gentlemen, where the water fell to the ground, may the ground be fertile, and may it take up roots, and may it deliver the message. Ashe, Ashe. welcome back, family. And thank you so much for joining us in that segment of the Talking Care. That is where we do our work in the spirit. And make sure you carry your tools in with you and understanding that each one of you are encouraged to set up your altars, to acknowledge your mother's and your father's spirit and your loved ones who have been deceased. Ask them to join the circle of life with you and to come back home and to reunite themselves to help you in the effort to work with families and to do all the necessary things that you have to do, chasten, correct, and love, and in all you're doing, fellowship together. I just had a big fellowship with my large clan family this weekend. All 11 of us girls met together in a setting where we were loving on each other and acknowledging each other. And I so badly wanted to have them on the show, but it wasn't appropriate because of the time constraints. However, we were able to take pictures, which we'll put out on the net, and we are all aging so beautifully, and there is not one of us who has not lost their shapely bodies and their love for life and their zest. And we are noted for the love that we show for one another. We enjoy fellowship and talking about old times and just sitting out in the park and bringing families from Dallas, from Wisconsin, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, as well as from Gary, Indiana, and Miraville. We fellowship. And it was unexpected because these were family members who had decided they hadn't been here in a long time and just buckled down and flew in. So I hope that you can do that with your family and you can see the benefit of doing that. Family is everything, and we're nothing without our family. And people tend to look at how big your family is before they decide to mess with you. And we were one of those groups of families that people didn't want to make the mistake of messing with because you had to come through all 11 of us girls and all 7 of us boys. So I'd like to say for the benefit of our families, for those who are listening out there, we love you, family. Thank you so much for an enjoyable day that we spent together yesterday. And I certainly hope that we get to do it again. And I know this weekend you're going to get together with other family members, and I hope that I can travel and be there with you. And the other thing I want to say is, ladies and gentlemen, our always sisters and always friends, down the road we are going to be bringing some of those sisters on to discuss various topics. Most of the young ladies are working in various different capacities and have a lot to give as input, and we're definitely going to have my sisters on so we can talk, and as well as some of those young men as well. Now, I'd like to go on with our show this evening, and we're going to change plans a little bit and try to speed things up a little bit because we have a guest coming on this evening. I'd like to go on and talk about the visitation with the infants and toddlers in foster care. And our topic, as you know, is babies from the bench. They left off something, helping babies from the bench, visitation with infants and toddlers. Let's go to station identification, and we'll come right back at you after we talk about what shoulders are made for, because we know we can't do any. Let me change it around. I want to do the power of faith, because I need that today to help strengthen me, if you don't mind. We'll be back at you in the atmosphere with the power of faith.
Follow me when I rise, and my feet
Project 2019, and that organization is a consumer science department, and we work with resource and referral, providing information in the literacy area of coaching and literacy, as well as working with financial literacy. We have now sealed the partnership with one of our partners who will be featured with us as we train young people as well as adults to work with the financial analyst of understanding money so that we can connect that to our business aspect. This is going to be a great opportunity for those young people to get involved with reorganizing America for Obama. So therein lies an opportunity for them. We'd like to also welcome you back to our segment, and this segment is working with the visitation with infants and toddlers in foster care. How do you set up your visitation opportunity, and what are the necessary programs for your visitation fathers and significant others? What is necessary for you to get an assignment to go see your children and to be able to be with them? Now, ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to welcome you right into the discussion. We are going to be talking about what is required of the court. And this is the attorney at law segment. And I am not a member of the bar, neither am I attorney. However, we're going to be talking about the visitation rights of the fathers who would like to see their children. And if they're not married, do they have the right to see their children? And if they're paying child support, do they have the right to see their children? And what must they do in order to see that child? Should an order be put in place? And if an order is put in place, how do they get involved with the writing of that plan? There is something called the co-parenting facilitator that works directly with the families to help them to draft. That car is not going to be taken out of here. Ladies and gentlemen, let's wait and take a commercial. We'll be right at you in Shoulders Are Made for Emergency.
Shoulders are for emergencies only. Talk to me, poem. I'm all alone. Nobody understands what I'm saying. Have you been in jail, poem? A lot of poems go to jail like a lot of women who get tired of no good men. Do no good poems beat up on people? Do no good poems say, I'm sorry, the next day? I know poems get lost because they're always being found. There are wanted posters, milk bottles, and lonesome guitars in the night looking for a poem to take home. I know poems get neglected, just like doo-wop singing on the back porch, and the deacons opening church with leaning on the everlasting arms. People forget what got them over, what saved them. What are your plans, Poem? Give it up. I hear you're a rap star now, going for the Grammy and the gold. Everybody singing your praises. Do you ever miss your home? The sign on I-81 says, shoulders are for emergencies only. Ride me, Poem. I think I've got the blues.
Ride me, Poem. I think I got the blues. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We are talking about those fathers that would like to participate in visiting their children. Fathers, you have to know that even if you're not married to your significant other and you are staying with that significant other, you must remember, in order to have the rights to see your children, you must find out what the courts say on that, and you must also visit the courts to find out if it is necessary for you to develop a plan, a co-parenting plan that will describe the manner in which you will visit your child and how frequently you will see the children and under what circumstances. You must have a plan in place. And therein lies the co-parenting facilitator. The judge will oftentimes ask you to go and take a class, which is basically a six-hour course online, to satisfy you being able to write this conclusive feature telling them exactly what you want in that plan. Now, it's very important that you understand that you will have to take classes that retrain you in how to work with raising those children separately from different homes, and that is definitely a must. Now, visitation rights can be set up in various different places. You can petition the court to request where you will have that visitation opportunity. And fathers, I want you to understand it is important. The courts do want you to see your children, and the judge definitely wants you to be involved in their life. You do not want to be absent because you owe back child support. You definitely want to sit down, talk to an attorney, and get that all set up and straightened out as to how you are going to pay the back pay. Those children definitely have to be taken care of financially. And I know you want to be in their lives, and it's preferably important to be in their lives at an early time. Now, infants and toddlers are a little bit different. The courts view them as being some part of the family that needs to have more frequent visits, and the children need more security. So in order to secure them with the mother and father being in their life, they want to accommodate you, fathers. And there are organizations out there like Fathers, Rights for Fathers, who work with the fathers and telling them, yes, you know, even though you're not married, there is a process you can go through if you're claiming those children and you want to have visitation right. You must follow the proper procedures. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if you're out there and you are an attorney and you'd like to call in during this segment, we invite you to do so. We invite you to be a part of this segment and giving your input. We are talking here under attorney at law. And this is a category where we invite questions and answers. And if you have a question, please do call in at 646-478-0270. Yes, we're talking about the babies from the bench, the visitation rights. What are they? And how does the father get to see their infant and get to hold their baby again and to maybe even have activities that they've planned for them and possibly the opportunity to go out and spend time with their children? Now, I feel that parents have to understand that it is important for both parents to be in a child's life. And mothers, I don't want you to be angry and try to disassociate yourself with the man in that child's life. You need to cooperate with the courts so that those children are getting a balanced life, not a confused one. Sometimes men can make so things so confusing that you don't want them in your life. And sometimes women can do the same thing, vice versa. But we want to create a haven, a healthy haven for these children, and we don't want these children to be flipped back and forth from different households. And we certainly want to make sure that there's love involved in working with that child and that the parents are not crazy in their effort to do this. Let's take a station identification for Umoja.
shop owner. I want your business. What must I do to convince you that I'm here to service you? I live in the neighborhood, and my ways are just as good. Why don't you come and support me the way you know you should? My brothers who got all their wealth, they say God bless the child who's got his own. Though a child be blessed, he can't do much alone. Who can I turn to if I can't count on you? What is a small businessman to do?
Ladies and gentlemen, we can help ourselves with Ujamaa, and that means defining for ourselves, naming for ourselves, and creating for ourselves and developing our own entrepreneurism, developing our own independent marketplaces where we can exchange our funds and our produce and our materials for each other's filthy lucre. We can keep our money circulating in our community, and we can learn about what Eco Entrepreneur is and how to develop those markets where we actually grow our own organic foods and be able to understand business is a part of our aspect. We are not to be afraid of working for ourselves and defining for ourselves and determining where we will circulate our money. It's very important that we understand that, ladies and gentlemen. And I would like to tell you one thing. I want to give you three poems, so hold on for a second. Here they come at you.
Three poems by Gwendolyn Brooks, performed by Ruby D.
We Real Cool. The Pool Players 7 at the Golden Shovel. We Real Cool, we left school, we lurk late, we strike straight, we sing sin, we thin gin, we jazz June, we die.
Welcome back, family. I'd like to engage you with a little statistics from our 0 to 3 publication, Infants Visiting Checklist for Family Court Judges. And I'd like to read it here and tell you what it says, and I quote, visiting plans. What is the current visiting arrangement, and where and how do we frequent for the how long, and who and there, and what is the level of supervision? Now, that's what the courts want to know. How much supervision will be currently going on at that particular visitation, and who will be supervising, and where will the visitation be? And is this visiting plan frequently enough to build attachment between the infant and the parent? That's what the courts are looking for, attachment building. And does, and I quote, does the visiting arrangement allow and support the parent-to-parent, including changing and feeding the infant, learning about the infant, cries and habits and growths, and determining and demonstrating the ability to keep the child happy and to build stamina for attachment? And understand the feeding times that the child is supposed to have. Is the father acquainted with that? Does the mother know when the child needs to eat? And does he just keep feeding the child constantly throughout the day without any time frames? The next one, was the purpose of visitation clearly communicated to the parent, and by whom to the person? So the parent has to tell the other parent why I'm coming to visit and what this visit is all about, if it's a routine visit or if it's a special visit, okay? And what are the beginning and the ending of the visitations like? The infant responds to the parent, okay, responding with gratitude, crying, or what is the ending process, the outcome, okay? And is there, and if there are other children living separately from the infant, do they visit them often also? And how are the visits with them? Okay? The involvement, what kind of involvement level? Is this at a low level when the father comes to visit or the mother? Now, the permanency, that's what I wanted to speak to you about. Is the visiting plan having the court closer to the achieving the permanency? That's what I wanted to know. Permanency is getting that child back home, having that child in a routine environment. And does this meet with the permanency that the courts are looking for? If it doesn't, then that particular court will reevaluate what is happening with those visitations, because they're aiming at permanency, getting that child back home and into the family. And if they have to rearrange and redirect those visitations, then they will, because they have to have an outcome. And the parental participation in the child's life, what is it like? Okay? Is the parent participating in the infant's medical appointments, early intervention, and vice versa, and other activities? Does the child take the does a parent take the child to their prenatal visits? Is there a time when the parent can interact with the doctor and talk to the doctor about the child's growth chart and if the child is coming along normal? These are all things that the parent can arrange for the visitation, because these would be the times when they can bond with the child, and the judge will look for permanency. This is a requirement of the government agents that they want this to develop into permanency. Eventually, the child will come home. If there is no consistency in the visits And if the judge doesn't see the positive outcome of these visits when the parent is there, then they will begin to reassess what the plan is that has been put in place. Now, mind you now, parents, if you are the parent that is going through co-parenting, you must design a co-parenting plan describing the holidays, the special days that the parent will have that child in visitation hours, when the child will be away from home, and what the child will be doing, and what time the child will return. All of that has to be in place, and there has to be a schedule. And you must present that to the judge to show the judge that you have a plan for this child, and the child just doesn't show up in your life and you fit them in. You must have activities planned for infants as well as toddlers. Even more so, the bonding time must be set aside for the permanency of developing a bonding process with that infant and toddler. And ladies and gentlemen, you've been really grand to talk to. I still want you to light up those phone lines at 646-478-0270. You've been talking and listening to Omieka 7. I am the host of the show, and we are just building our commodity and our enterprise with a variety of other speakers to come on to assist you. And today we are scheduled to have Mr. Ron Jr. Thomas. He is owner and operator of BioStrands Corporation, which is a hair product. He will be featuring his commercials on the show, as well as talking about his brand new book that he's written on entrepreneurism. He will be reading some segments from his chapter and his books, and he will be intriguing you to call in with questions and answer. Ron is a longtime host of the Christian radio show that used to come on about 3 o'clock in the morning here in the northern Indiana area. However, he is not hosting that show any longer. I've been on that show with him. Great show, good opportunity for working in the avenue of promoting products as well as your business. And now we get a chance to help Ron promote his business and talk about the fantastic things that he's doing in the entrepreneurism area. He'll be coming on shortly, ladies and gentlemen, and while we wait for him to get into the studio, we're going to go right into a commercial, and we may just whoop it up a little bit and go into a dance up in here, because you know sometimes we like to do play that dirty dances. Come on, ladies. Come on, man. Get out on the floor with the dirty dancers before we get going here. Just got to get out there and exercise. Come on.
If you can't see, you see me shaking, yeah, yeah, yeah.
because Ron is probably making his way through the traffic and getting on the phone, we're going to give him some more time and go right into Always Sisters and Always Friends. And we're going to bring on Miss Celie Blues. You know she always sings those blues for us before we start the show. Here we go, Miss Celie's Blues. Because we're going to switch things around a little bit, we'll do Always Sisters, Always Friends. We're carrying over from the topic of discussion from the babies working with the judge from the bench. So we want to go right into the topic of how does the parent ensure that the visitation plan is individualized and promoted for permanency just for that infant? The mother has to watch over things and make sure that the father is creating age-appropriate things for that infant and that it is suited for an infant and not for a high schooler or a middle school, because age-inappropriate practices can affect the child's growth and developmental stage. So when the father presents to the mother the activities they're going to do, the mother definitely wants to look over those activities to see if they're age-appropriate. Because we certainly don't want to be giving an infant and toddler activities to do that they cannot perform at the age of 3 and 4 years old. We want to make sure that they're conducive and that the cognitive activities are building upon permanency and attachment. So who are we trying to attach the baby to? Preferably the father while he's there with the mother, with the father in visitation. We want to give them a clean opportunity to create an environment where the child is not very, very disrupted, angry, or fussing. We want to make sure that is a good experience for visitation. We want to make sure that the outcome is right for that baby. So, mothers, what must you do? You get with those fathers, you ask them ahead of time, what are you planning to do with the infant and toddler? What activities do you have? Do you need me to help you arrange those activities? Or you take a look at what he has and you reassure them that those are appropriate, age appropriate. Now, when I ask you to question permanency, remember that eventually the courts want to place this child back in the home. Is this an activity that's conducive for permanency so that we can be sure that this child can come back into the home? Or is this a problem for the child? And will it pose, you know, some type of problem down the road? I think it's very important for you to check that out. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go to commercial right now. We're going to talk a little bit about Malcolm X, and we'll be right back at you.
Malcolm X for Dudley Randall. Original, ragged, round, rich, robust. He had the hawk man's eyes. We gasped. We saw the maleness raking out and making guttural the air and pushing us to walls. And in a soft and fundamental hour, a sorcery devout and vertical beguiled the world. He opened us, who was a key, who was a man.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're back. I want to ask the same question. Does visitation help meet the federal permanency planning? Now, the federal permanency planning is that they want that child back in the home. And when the parent puts together her plan, is it directly designed to allow that mother to get some extra points for what she's doing to show the courts that she wants to take permanency of rearing of that child again, preferably with the man in her life if he is her husband? Now, over the years, there has been a large amount of women and men who have not gotten married, and they have common law. So what has happened in the past is that those parents get to reinvent the training away from home. And ladies and gentlemen, we're going to come back to our Always Sisters, Always Friend, and we're going to get ready for our family life education. Our guest speaker is here now, Mr. Ron Jr. Thomas. And Mr. Thomas, like I indicated, is a longtime host from a Christian radio station in the Linwood area. He is also a resident of Linwood, and he is also the owner and founder of BioStrat Hair Products. He will be telling you a little bit more about his products, and there will be some commercials hopefully down the road. Mr. Thomas has written a book talking about entrepreneurism. He has actually did workshops, and he's putting those workshops together now to have them ready as symposiums. And I'd like to have you welcome Juan Thomas, because he will be a regular featured host on our show, and he will be talking from the perspective under our category of family life education, under entrepreneurism, how do you start a business, what are the various types of corporations, what is definitely important that you must put in a corporation. And we're going to allow him the opportunity to fill in any information that we might have left out. Ron is also a soloist. He does have a voice, so I'm sure you're going to recognize the distinctive voice that he has. And ladies and gentlemen, we want you to light up those phone lines now at 646-478-0270. Our chat room is now open. You may come in and chat as Mr. Thomas begins his presentation. And the chatting, as you know, will not allow you to speak, but only to write. If you do want to call in, you must dial 646-478-0270. And I give you Mr. Ron Thomas Jr. Mr. Ron Thomas, you have the atmosphere. Welcome.
Hello, how are you, Sister Sherelle?
I am fine, Brother Ron.
Excellent, excellent. Thank you for having me on the program. I want to say hello to your listeners and just say this is a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to expand on the vision that I've been working in for over 20 years with BioStrand, as well as for the last 15-plus years, just encouraging other individuals in the field of entrepreneurialism, because as is stated in my book, which has been published now for over 7 years, that when we got to this point in the new millennium, it would be necessary to have a business startup, even if you still work for corporate America or any other type of privatized organizational group. And so we're coming into a time even more and more now where your gifts, your talents, the things that you may have always wanted to do, you're in a situation now where it's a requirement. Would you agree with that, Sister Jarrell?
Yes, I would. Yes, I would.
And so this is a wonderful opportunity. You know, some people see the situation that America's in economically as a depressed situation. I had to speak with a friend yesterday and just encourage her to not give up in her pursuits, but to just take a breather, you know, take a day off, take your mind off of everything, and just focus on just building your faith and your confidence and just knowing that where we are is not where we're on our way to. And that's the beautiful thing about life. You're constantly on your way. So I don't want to, you know, ramble or anything like that. I am the president and CEO of a founding company called BioStrand Incorporated. We manufacture a holistic hair replenishing line, and we've been in the industry now, in the marketplace, since July of 1993. So we're looking at, what, I guess, about completing our 18th year this month and going into our 19th year very joyfully. What's the difference? The difference is, you know, Sister Sherelle, many years ago when I decided to leave the Internet industry, and when people purchase my book, You May Be Young, Scared, Uncertain, Basically Broke, and You Still Want to Start a Business, Go For It, which is the state of most Americans today, it very clearly states how important it's going to be to be at the head of the table in every boardroom meeting, that you be the executive of that vision of that company, so that there are no more layoffs, no more corporate downsizing, no more cutbacks that affect the quality of life for your family. And I think most people listening right now would agree that they're tired of putting the time and the effort into various companies that then go and file bankruptcy or give some other unacceptable excuse after 20 to 25 years of dedicated service. We have stories out here.
I certainly do agree with that, Brother Ron. What I wanted to ask you, if you can expound upon a bit, a little bit about your book. I was very excited about your book many years ago when you told me about it, and I know that it's still apropos for today's time. Can we get into any of the chapters that you'd like to introduce to the listening audience?
Well, you know what's very interesting is that the title of the book are actually the chapters of the book. So there's a chapter on You May Be Young. There's a chapter on You May Be Scared. You may be uncertain. You may be basically broke. All of those chapters are addressed in the book. And, again, as we go forth, I would like to, you know, probably start right at the top with that and, you know, be able to share some of that with the listener. But by the same token, I'm also encouraged to, if it's all right with you, identify a few other positive, I think, points that our listeners should, or viewers should be.
That's certainly all right. That's fine, Brother Ron.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yeah, should be mindful to. The fact that any help that we're going to ever know is the help that begins at home. You see, if you really pay attention to the structure of America and the way that, let's say, people of any background, creed, religion, culture deal with each other, most people tend to seek out and support that which they're most likened to culturally or through gender. Sometimes religion will have an effect there, but I think our strongest bond is always going to be found in culturalism, you see.
I agree with
that. And so, as that is true, it's very important to begin to look within your own community environment to find and to begin offering support. Now, how important is that? Exactly. Most people that are listening have never experienced what I'm about to say. Do something that arises so much passion in you that you would do it for no money.
Absolutely.
Wow. Let's just let that absorb for a minute. Marinate.
Let it marinate.
You know, exactly. Something that you are so passionate about that you would do it for no money. Why? Because
and Brother
the
Ron, that's how I saw you when I met you on the television show. You were so passionate about co-hosting that I knew you would do it out in the streets, in the courtyard, whenever, because you were passionate about it.
Well, look at the host. You know, I was in good company. So the point was to take a second chair to the power and the presence that was in that environment was just a wonderful opportunity. And thank you for observing that, because that passion goes with me every place I go. You should be so passionate that you can break a fever about what you do.
I like that. Break a fever.
Yes. Let's take an example.
Hey, I better check my pulse now. Let's see what's going on.
I mean, honestly, let's think about it for a minute. Who was one of the most shyest men and one of the most well-known men in the world? If you walked up to him and put a microphone in front of this guy and asked him two questions, his answers would be so meek and so subdued that you would think to yourself, this couldn't possibly be the same guy. But now you put the right background and you set a well-rehearsed band and some backup dancers and singers behind a man named Michael Jackson.
Oh, yeah.
And what happens? What happens? The adrenaline of his delivery was so powerful. Why? Because of his passion for what he did.
Well, let me ask you a question, Ron.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there's another side of you that people will begin to see in a minute, the ability to orator, to lecture. Tell us a little bit about your career in the lecturing field, and what would you say to the listening audience about the opportunities that exist in the lecturing field as a professional?
First off, the first time that I received compensation for lecturing, I didn't even know it was going to happen. I did it as a favor, and I talked for maybe, the time frame was so insignificant, and I was so caught off guard. You probably think I'm going to say thousands of dollars or something, but I promise you, for what I got up and said, and for the measure of time that I was speaking, it was very valuable. I had a school principal to call me back and say, wait, I have something for you. And a man hands me a $200 check. And I'm thinking to myself, oh, my God, this was years ago. But, you know, if anybody listening, think about how many days you have to go to Walmart or McDonald's to come home with a $200 check. You
mm-hmm.
see my point? But
yes.
But then to realize that you can say a paragraph. Now, there's got to be a lot of value in what you say. But you can literally utter a paragraph or two, and someone puts $200 in your hand. You see, so, and again, now when you start looking at accomplished PhDs, people like that, the point is that when it comes to lecturing, there are, organizations, your endowment groups and associated with educational organizations and things like that that pay into the millions for speakers to come out. And so I don't want to talk a lot on the focus or aspect of money, but it can be a very lucrative pursuit if you position yourself the right way. And if you
and
have something
Brother
Ron,
do you see it being a part? Do you see it being a part of the actual publishing business with your orator, your lecturing, your singing? And how do you put all that together to make it a commodity with several streams of income if you are going to be publisher and lecturer? How do you perceive putting that together under the umbrella of entrepreneurism?
Very carefully is the best response that I can give right now. And the reason why I'm not being so direct and you know, just a little bit vague is because the greater goal that I would hope to achieve today is to have people to wake up and realize that there is hope in our current situation. that they are greater than they know themselves to be or have even perceived themselves to be. And because their perceptions of self are so limited is why their bank account right now is limited and their bank account is limited. Everything about what they're experiencing has limitation on it for that very reason. They're not where they need to be and understanding who they are and how valuable they are.
And, wouldn't you also say that very thing they're holding in their hand when they say, I have nothing to give, that very thing they're holding in their hand, if they would just release it, that is the indication that you're planting a seed to reap a harvest. And so many of us don't understand that when God is trying to get something in our hand, we've got to release something out of our hand. And most of the time, our very treasured gifts, we are walking in those gifts, and we don't even know that we have them.
Correct. Correct. And it's why, because we're distracted by the circumstances that are around us, you see. And there's where we've got to stop and kind of almost intentionally, intellectually put on the blinders and just kind of just say, okay, I've bought into all of this, and I've worried myself almost into an early grave, and I'm still not where I need to be.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
So why the worries? Why the frustration? Why the anger? Why the desperation? Remember what I said. I got a phone call yesterday. Hello. Hi, how are you? This is such and such. And you know what? No one. I couldn't think of anybody else to call. I had to say to somebody who I know cares about my life and cares about me, I'm at my wit's end. I don't want to be here anymore. I just want to go. Okay, wait a minute. What does that mean? You want to go. This person was so confused. First off, it is only money. It is only money. It's not
yes,
life.
It is.
It's not death. It's not your tomorrow. You see what I'm saying?
Yes.
When we start to begin to trust our destiny to the good that exists all around us, then that's when everything starts to change. Because our focal point goes inward. Remember what I was saying about the whole community aspect. We've got to start individually and build from the inside out, which, you know,
well,
is the same
Brother
concept.
Ron, that's what we're trying to do here. In bringing the 120 minutes together, we want a cohesive,
mm-hmm.
collaborative, a varieties of interest for those people in the listening audience who need to hear about business. What is business? What is entrepreneurism? And how come you can't get a business while you're still working? Is it that difficult that we have to go and take out a loan to do a business? Or can we start with a sole proprietor? How does one start in business? And how does one get a plan? Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be right back at you, one in the atmosphere. We're going to go to You Help Me Write This Song. We'll see what we can do about that.
Excuse me, Sherelle?
Yeah.
Yes.
I need to call my daughter real quick. Okay, I can switch over. I'll come right back, okay?
Yes, okay.
Seems like all I want to do is you, all day thinking about you. You're my every dream come true. Since that day I found you, I used to be a player going hard, but now we're holding hands in this park. It's funny how you stop the wrong you used to do when you fight and you live. And now I'm going down on bending knees. Girl, don't cry, here's the ring. Cause something about your love helped me make a change. You earned my trust in my last name. No more
disrespect,
no more tricks, no more lies. Girl, I don't wanna live it. It's because of you.
I was sorry, so I couldn't read at that point.
Give you the one you have me right. This song you've been the number one lady in my life. So girl, your love helped me write this song. You're the words of the melody. You can be my song, my song. Now
gentlemen, welcome back, family. We're glad you can join us here. Why don't you lock that dial in at 646-478-0270 and call in with your questions and answer. We are now bringing on board our new addition to our 120 Minutes, Mr. Ron Thomas Jr. He is the owner and founder of BioStrat Hair Products. He also is a publisher and entrepreneur. He is going to be heading up our segment on entrepreneurism. He will be sharing aspects and chapters of his book to tell us a little bit about how to establish ourselves as entrepreneur. We're also going to be talking a little bit about ecopreneur, which is a new phrase for dealing with those entrepreneurs out there in the sustainability business that are working with organic gardening. We want all those listeners to call in because that's where Obama is hiding the money for those new startup businesses. Now, this segment of our show is a family life education, and under that, we will be featuring business aspects throughout the week. Ron is brand new, but not brand new to radio and TV. He has had a long-time career as a host of a Christian radio night late show, radio show. And most people know Ron concerning that show. And I'm going to ask him, you know, to repeat the name of that show and give a little input as to what his job was as a host on that show. So he comes to us well-prepared and equipped to do the job of a host. So welcome him and embrace them, family. Call in by letting them know you're part of my family. There's about 34 followers out there. I'm expecting you to light those lines up and call in to the chat room. And welcome Ron Thomas Jr., a new addition to the Care to Read. Let's go back to the phone line so we can bring Mr. Thomas back on in an atmosphere. Mr. Thomas, you are in the atmosphere, brother. You have the mic.
Oh, hello, hello, hello. And you know what? For the sake of correctiveness, it's Ron L. Thomas Sr.
Okay. I made you into a junior.
Mm-hmm.
I thought your
proper,
father was senior.
The proper pronunciation of the company name is BioStrand.
BioStrand. You know, there's a product for health food. There's a product for health foods called BioStrat, so I've been calling it the BioStrat liquid.
Yeah, no, I want to make sure they go to biostrand.com.
Correct me.
You know,
get that right.
Yes. Again, they can find more information at www.biostrand.com.
Tell me,
Brian,
how did you start that business, and what was the motivating factor to tell you that you could start a corporation like that? And also tell me, who were the people around you that were strategic foot soldiers to help you carry that thing through? And were your family involved? And if they were, are they still involved now? And how do you feel about a family-oriented business?
I feel wonderful about a family-oriented business. And when BioStrand first launched, it was more, the first thing that I can say was my greatest ally was faith. That's what I can say. My greatest ally was faith.
Isn't he all of our greatest ally?
Yeah, think about that one for a minute.
Okay.
You know, if that were the case, we'd be talking to a whole lot more people who call in and say, wow, I've got the business. Help me understand more about what to do with it. I think what we're going to keep getting more of now are people that are going to say, you know what, I'm convinced. Now I need your help. And so we got to get people on the other side of the sitting back and comfortably kind of just listening in and taking for granted what's going on right now, even as they listen to us. So that's part of, and that whole faith factor will bring that to bear. A lot of things go untalked about in America, especially, and you know what, it's not for me to play the race card or anything like that, but for anyone who hasn't figured it out, from the tone of my voice, I am of African origin.
Oh, I
so
was surprised.
I do have a special concern.
You got a bit of a slight accent.
Don't stop. Thank you, ma'am. I do have a special concern with the impact that Africans, as we are known, Americans now, or blacks, however people want to categorize us, it depends on, I think, which day it is. The point being that we of color have the opportunity right now to impact America like we never have before. Why?
I believe that. I certainly believe that, Ron. And I want to zone in on that. Because the doors are so open now, we have opportunities to head up new conglomerates that are aligning themselves with Africa. There's companies going to Africa every day who are heading up these coal mines. They're Chinese men who are going over there in our business, mining our business, mind you, and they are developing corporations after corporation, plans after plans. And Obama is telling us every chance he gets, I have put the secret in a bottle, and you can find it in sustainability. Go and get it and open it up. But yet we still haven't got the message yet. How can we get the message to the people, Ron?
Well, first, right now, today, if I can just get a few guys to start some shoeshine businesses, I'll be happy.
You said, now repeat that again.
If I can just get a few of our male listeners to launch a shoeshine business in their neighborhood or at the local mall in their city.
Can you explain what that's all about, just in case some of our local listeners are not aware of what that business in details?
Well, if you look at the broadest potential amount of investment to start a shoeshine business, it's an under $100 startup. You know, all you have to do is skip one OJ's concert, and you can start your own business.
What kind of capital would you be gaining from it?
I was standing next to a woman that paid $150 a seat to go see Tina Turner as though they had something in common.
Okay.
Now, this
was
a woman of color.
Mm-hmm.
Who's got $150 to give to Tina Turner, who, by the way, is a multimillionaire, you know, quadruple times over? What is the sense in that? You see, when we're wise, Tina Turner will show up and her entourage and the crew for the stage and the band will be applauding when she comes out there.
Well, what you may want to say also, Ron, I would like to say we got to hold her accountable to the African-American listening audience. She's got to put something back. She can no longer reap the benefits of equality in rural life without coming back to the hood.
Wait. Let me just say this, that Tina Turner is on the other side of the world in a gated, structured mansion.
Sure.
So watch this. Let's just stay in a more realistic environment right now. See, the decision on the part of our listeners to swear off of concert business, going to and investing and going to concerts, for them to swear off of all of these excess experiences that they think they have to have.
So let me ask you a question, Ron. Are you seeing that the large bulk of our money is going to extracurriculum activity and it should be redirected?
To excess and spoilage. That's exactly what's going on. Excess and spoilage. That's what's going on. And so consequently, when we need something, we don't have it because we gave it away on a thrill. So you see,
ladies and
point,
gentlemen,
right?
I want to call the listening audience to this. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to light those phone lines up. I think you do need to be connected to what we're talking about, even if it's not with anything but just listening. I need you to come in the room and dial those numbers at 646-478-0270. We have the Honorable Ron Senior Thomas in the room this evening, and we'd like you to come in and sup and take up with some of the offerings that he's giving us about how to look at our spending. Where are we being wasteful? You know, ladies and gentlemen, I have partnered with Junior Achievement. I've been in a meeting with them all afternoon. They are now convinced that what America needs, and even Obama, is that we need another Junior Achievement fix. And we need to be bringing in the Junior Achievement in the universities, in the technical schools. We need to be bringing and partnering with the parents in the parenting programs, and we need to also get in front of Obama and present all of the youngsters who have these fabulous business plans, who presented all over the world their business plan, and now Obama wants to honor these outstanding young men and women who created their business plan, and they did it through the training from Junior Achievement. And now Junior Achievement have their own city, their own buzz store. They have their own virtuous microcosmic center online where you can teach these young people to invest in stocks and bonds and sell off stocks and bonds and function in a macro city just like they're working in the real world. This is what we need more of. Our schools have become obsolete. And our children are getting rubbish in the classroom when they should be learning how to build corporations. Come on in, listening family. Light up those phone lines. We're talking about how to take our dollar and circulate it more than one time in the Jewish community. Now, the Jewish communities knew that they needed to circulate their dollar, so they watched their filthy lucre and where it goes, and they monitor it. And if they want to pull their dollar out, they can make a dollar holler. They'll call you to the table and say, we won't circulate it. And that's what Attorney Shabazz has told us. We're now going to have to sit down, negotiate with these Orientals, with these Turks in our community. We're going to have to sit down with them and tell them, if you don't cut us in, we will cut you out. Let's go back to our guest speaker and our new co-host who will be featured on a daily basis, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Ron Thomas Sr. You have the atmosphere.
Yes, ma'am. What I'll say is this, is that I hear and understand the conversation that was just presented, and I have nothing to try to deter people from your encouragement in that approach. My focus right now is to touch and to break through the fear that has gripped the culturalism of our nation. Right now, I'd like to just help people that are listening, especially people of color, to understand that it's time to emerge from excess. You see, we're in a society, it's a permissive society that gives permission without accountability. You see, let me give you an example. In order for you or I to go out and purchase a car or a home, we have to have multiple documents that make us accountable for our ability to maintain the cost of that item. Am I correct?
Yes, you are.
Why is it that there's not a structure in America that creates accountability for a 12 and a 13, 14 or 15-year-old who can make a baby? They don't have to be screened. There's no accountability. But they go out and make something that its cost, lifetime-wise, far exceed a house or even a car. I mean, a house with a 30-year mortgage or a $50,000 to $80,000 car. You see what I'm saying? And everything ushers our young people to the mindset that it's okay to create something that requires a lot of cost without the documentation of accountability to prove that it can be supported.
And Ron, I want to speak to the subject of accountability on both ends of it, for the student as well as for the adult. Now, if you have a system that does not set up checks and balances and there's no standards set, then you know it's set up for failure. So we have a system that is collapsed. It's collapsed into a cesspool, even in the school system.
Okay.
So what do you do about a system that
there
is collapsed and no accountability exists under any plane?
Excellent question. Now, of course, there are going to be several. You know, you're going to start and put number one, and you'll probably have A through G under number one of factors that begin to bring accountability. But the first thing is to pull the focus off of the global format. See, we have to grow up some before we can go to the table with the various cultures that you talked about. Where do we have to grow up? We have to grow up inwardly first. We have to start to take responsibility for simply knowing where our children are right now. I would rather that every person who's listening to us right now would just, you know, pick up the phone while they're listening and call and see where their children are. That would be a good accountability startup. The world is not accountable to us. We are accountable to ourselves.
And ladies and gentlemen,
make.
I'm going to have to go and do some house cleaning, so I'm going to take a station identification. I will be right back at you in the atmosphere, so hold tight.
When I was 13 years old, my mother moved to a town called Lincoln, Illinois. I was in the 8th grade grammar school. At that time, we didn't have junior high school, so when you graduated from the 8th grade, you went to high school. In this 8th grade graduating class in Lincoln, Illinois, on the day that I entered, the students were talking about holding a class election. It seems that they'd heard that the high school across the street had class officers, so they wanted to have officers too. Well, the teacher was explaining to the class that day the duties of class officers. She said, of course, that the president had to know how to run a meeting, and the secretary had to know how to write, and so on. And then when she got to the office of class poet, she stressed rhythm. She said, a poem must have rhythm. Well, now, I was a stranger in the class. I'd entered about 4 weeks after the school year had begun. I didn't know any of the other pupils. They didn't know me. I was one of two Negro children in that class. I didn't expect to be elected to any class office, being new there, you know. And besides, on the way home from school that day, the one other Negro pupil, a girl, told me that she never heard of colored children being elected to anything in the schools there in Lincoln, Illinois. She said, this is a prejudiced little town. Well, she was just about right. It was a kind of American small town that, at that time, did not permit Negroes to eat in any of the restaurants downtown. If you were colored and you went to the movies, you had to sit in the last row on the left. If that single row was crowded that night, you couldn't go to the movies if you were a Negro. Well, the next day when the class election was held, sure enough, all of the officers were nominated and voted upon and elected except one office. And the colored girl who'd been in the class all the 8 terms with the other pupils was not nominated or elected to anything. And, of course, my name wasn't mentioned. But when they got on to the very last office, down the very bottom of the blackboard, underneath sergeant-at-arms even, that was the office of class poet, and there weren't any nominations at all. The pupils looked around at each other, and it seemed that nobody in the class looked like a poet. Nobody even looked like he or she could write a poem, so the problem was who to nominate for class poet. The teacher said, "You do want a class poet, don't you?" And all the youngsters said, "Well, yes, we do." And she said, "Well, you have to nominate somebody." So finally, a little white boy got up and turned around and looked at me and called my name. And right away, the whole class said, unanimously, I was elected the class poet. Well, I thought that was just because nobody else wanted the office. But in thinking about it that night a little more carefully, I remembered that the teacher the day before, in defining what a poet had to possess, had stressed the word rhythm. And I knew that, in my experience, almost all American white people at that time seemed to think that all Negroes could sing and dance and that all of us had a sense of rhythm, sort of conventional belief, you know? So I came to the conclusion that maybe poetry, rhythm, color, me, a Negro, that little boy had thought he must have some rhythm to give a poem, and maybe that's why I was elected the class poet. At any rate, I'm glad that I was. Up to that time, I had not really thought about writing in any serious way at all. Although my mother liked poetry, she used to recite poetry a great deal. In fact, she used to make me recite poems on church programs and school programs when I was little. And I must say I didn't like it very much, having to stand up in public and say rhymes. But when I began to work on my class poem, and I had all winter to write it, you know, it wasn't due till graduation in the spring, I began to sort of take an interest in reading poetry. My class poem turned out to be just about the longest poem I've ever written, even up to now. It was 16 verses long. I had 8 for the class and 8 for our teachers, because we had 8 teachers in the school. Well, it's a wonder anybody liked it, but when I stood up and read the poem at graduation in June, everybody applauded very loudly, and I was so pleased by all that applause that ever since that time I've been writing poetry. Now, of course, that wouldn't be...
Now, ladies and gentlemen, I like to zone in to something on that poetry. You know, this room is a spoken word room, and we are also into literacy and coaching and helping our children to have better oratory. What the gentleman mentioned in that segment was having rhythm, having style, having continuity, and having closure. So, for the African Americans who are listening in this evening to our segment on family life education, we're talking about financial literacy. What is it going to take to make us literate? No one person has the solution or the key, but we're speculating from all aspects. We know bit and line upon line and precept on precept, and that's how we come to conclusions. So, in bringing you an opportunity to have more conclusion, I want you to know that there are chapters right now that are formalizing, that are talking about what's best practice for African American, so that we can reap some benefits from reparation, and to also look at, and I know a lot of people don't agree with me, but that's your opinion, but I have mine. Reparation does not only include monetary gains, it also includes forgiveness for work that has been performed that you weren't paid for. You might not think that you are entitled to it or you're eligible for it, and you figure you can work from the sweat of your brows, but there are many opportunities that can come out of the research that this panel is working on under Attorney Shabazz to collect information under reparation. It's a part of our birthright if we're going to start those startup businesses. Now, we have a young man in the audience who is coming to us who is endowed with a business. I'm sure it took something to get that business started. And a lot of people are not born with silver spoons, and they need a leg up to get businesses started in order to create opportunities for other people to work for them. So what I'm saying, if we're given our filthy lucre in our 40 acres of the mule, in our reparations, such as forgiveness of taxation, and also giving us rights to our own ability to govern for ourselves and to become a sovereign nation, then we can look at business really with an eye to say, I have a successful business. My business is flourishing. There are many businesses that are struggling right now, and they can't begin to give you a report of the profit and loss statements that they're succeeding because there's no money to invest, and you need money to properly invest in a business. So take a listen to our show today and see what you can gain from the show and understanding this gentleman's process of starting his business, what it took for him to start, who were there to give him loans or assistance. How did he get the business started? Did it just happen overnight? Did God just drop an idea and it happened? There's a process, ladies and gentlemen. Come on into the room. Let's talk about the process. I'm about consciousness. Now, if we got $1 billion to spend and our money is not circulating in our community, and if our dollars are not hollowing, we've got to shut down some people and shut out some people who are coming in our neighborhoods minding our business so that we can take that dollar and regenerate it in our community and start kick our businesses so they will work, and they're just not only in name only, but they're functional and they're profiting, and there's money that we can loan. The Bible says that we will lend and not borrow. So you can't have a business where you're borrowing all the time to make it work because it's not effective. Let's talk about effective business operations. And we're going to go back to Brother Ron Thomas Sr. to talk about effective business operation skills. What does it take to be an effective business operator? I've had non-for-profit business that were barely there, barely making it, and waiting and hoping I don't have to ask for any type of loans. But what do? Do we give in and write grants and take money, or do we do it on our own, off of our own shoestrings? So let's go to the phone line, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Thomas, you have the atmosphere. What do you think about the start of businesses? Were you given gifts?
Well,
did you need to borrow money? How do people do it?
Let me tell you how my situation started. I had always had a vision to launch a hair care company because even when I was in the information systems technology industry, my passion was always hair care. I've been in the industry since I was 11. And so one of the things that I paid a lot of attention to, because I was a diversity designer. I did people of any nationality. It didn't matter to me. But I saw the varying effects within the hair textures. So I always had a desire to create a product line that was usable by a person no matter what their culture was, because what's interesting is that you may be culturally different, but the basic chemical composition of the human body is the same no matter what race you are. So when you formulate for the human requirement, anybody can use your products, which is the way BioStrand is. So, but anyway, when I got to the point where I was fed up and I saw that this vision of being able to oxygenate the hair and scalp and groom at the same time without and combat toxicity, what BioStrand does, you get beautiful, healthy, and safe hair, non-toxic hair. So, okay, I started researching. It took several years of self-research, and I was blessed to have a dear friend who's like a brother to me today, who was in cosmetic chemistry. And he was you know, a formulator for some major big player companies, and got fed up as I finished my first formula. So here I am. He comes, and he assists me. And this is one of the things that I talk about in the book. You have to start your plan. You don't have to know the whole plan. You have to start it, you see. So that's what I did. So he calls me up one day. He says, hey, man, you know, I was talking to your wife, and she says you're over there mixing up some hair products. He says, you need some help? I said, don't play, man. This is serious. I'm really trying to get this done. He said, I'm serious. I'm fed up. I want out, and I want to come help you bring that product to the marketplace. Bam! Wow, look at that. You see, you can't write the business plan for something like that, but you can plan to start. I hope somebody's listening right now. So now I've got the factor about he's helped me. We finish our first formula, which, by the way, now, 19 years later, without any exposure to a college classroom, Sister Sherelle, I'm a junior-level chemist. Literally by myself now, I can formulate a hand lotion for you, a shampoo, products like that. And you see, because I'm resourced from the inside out, I have someone in my life that was part of what I wanted to do. I can call him on the phone and say, hey, this is how far I've gotten with a shampoo product that I want to create. What's missing? And he'll tell me, hey, Ron, listen, I'm going to drop some stuff in the mail for you, and I want you to go on the Internet and order this, this, and this. And those are the components that will complete the, not just the shampoo formula, but the, what you want to make sure that it does. Wow. Now, watch this. There's no money. I'm up to my ears in debt, Sherelle. The interest rate on the business that I started previously, supporting a vision that I was assisting my spouse with, we got to a place where there was some confusion in which way to take it. So I said, fine, I gave you the reins on this. Let's go the way you want to go.
You're fading out. Are you still there? Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to go to commercial for a second. We'll be right back at you in the air.
Well, Mother is a message. Got to get the message to our brothers and sisters.
Okay, we're going to come back at you in the atmosphere, ladies and gentlemen, and we're talking to Ron Thomas Sr. He is talking about his product, BioStrand hair product, which he formalized as a junior chemist. And he's talking about his partner that came on board with him to assist him and how he has found himself in financial debt, even though he has created a corporation. And that tends to happen, ladies and gentlemen. And he's trying to explain to us, when you have a corporation, what happens in the formulation and the process. Even though you have a business plan, you can lay everything out, but if the interest rate will soar, you could end up with paying much more for a product than what you had intended. So we're going to go back to the phone line with Brother Ron there. Okay. Looks like, okay. Well, he'll probably come back at us. He probably had a little phone problem there. Now, I'd like to also say, ladies and gentlemen, that we've been talking in this room about how we can circulate our dollars and cents and how we can keep our money in our community. And one of the things that we want to do is to astute our family to understanding the process of junior achievements, economic program that they have for ethical planning and finance. Now, we've just been on the line and in conference with some of the heads of the training department, and they have agreed to work with us and our committee in training and development so that we can best train those students and get them ready to be the foot soldiers that are going to go out there. I think he's got his phone line back on. Let me go to the line and welcome him back. Welcome back. Welcome back,
hi.
Ron. Is everything
hi,
okay? Is your line okay?
Yes. You know what? I think my signal, I'm on a remote phone, so I apologize.
No problem.
So,
well, we're going to bring Brother Ron right back in the atmosphere, ladies and gentlemen. We're down, counting down our last segment of our show. We are off the air at 8:15, so we're going to have Ron give us a wrap-up of his book as well as the things that he's going to be bringing to us in a topic form. And our segment, ladies and gentlemen, will be focused around filthy lucre, economics. How do we balance our budget within our own households? How do we begin to understand that we have to live on a budget if we're going to be economically and politically correct? And there is some opportunities for God's people. There is a way of escape. So don't think we have to be poor all of our life. We can only be poor in our spirits, but we have to be prosperous and think abundance. And so a man believeth in his mind that he is, and if he pursues that belief, then it will come to pass. So let's not think that we're going to be the permanently underclass for the rest of our life. We are going to have opportunities open up to us where we're going to have houses that we didn't build with our own hands, and they're now giving us land. They're apologizing and giving us land. So my question is, will we be ready for that entrepreneurship? And I did say I was going to talk about ecopreneur. Ecopreneur is the concept of working with organic gardening and looking at sustainability, also looking at your solar panels. In Obama's new referendum, he has been putting hidden nuggets within that where people can find that there are funding and grants for boots on the ground. And right out of Milwaukee, Wisconsin, the young lady that had set up has been looking for women to hand over all types of farming opportunities for those brand new initiatives. So there are some opportunities out there. We just have to be clever and find them. I hope that next time when we're on the air, we can talk more about those hidden nuggets and where they are. Right now I'm going to bring Brother Ron on to kind of wrap it up and give us an agenda of what we can look forward to and how we can bring closure to getting our people involved in sole proprietorship, contractual works, and independent business and corporations. And what's the difference, Juan, between a corporation, a subchapter, opposed to an LLC? Can you explain that for the listening audience?
You know what? Again, forgive me, Sherelle. I don't want to abandon your topic. I want to conclude that story since we're brief,
okay,
and we have a brief opportunity, because something is just telling me that my approach to being on air should be to stay with the basics and the fundamentals. So what I did is I didn't allow, using faith,
okay, well,
I did not allow.
One thing I was trying to explain to you, Ron, our time will run out. And so that you won't run out of time, let me spearhead you so that you won't be talking, they cut you off. That's what I was saying. Can you bring us some type of closure here? Because we have more time. We'll be on again on Friday. So this is not the end of the opportunity. We just want to...
Okay, all I want to say is, because I have to tell the whole story again, if it's okay, I sold the family car. I borrowed $500 from a friend for 7 days, paid him back 7 days later at 10% interest, and I never looked back. And BioStrand is still thriving and is being competitive in the marketplace almost 20 years later. That's what I wanted to finish and say.
That's a beautiful thing.
Yes.
That's a beautiful thing.
And so from that startup, with absolutely no money, up to my ears in debt and interest charges on credit card debt, after I took the faith to start to go forward, the simplest business concept, if you don't have the information yourself, admit that you're young and look for a mentor in that field. As sure as you're walking in that way, the provision is there because you were given the vision. Don't let it be about money. There could have been a $1 billion briefcase in that bush, and it would have been of no value to Abraham when he needed a ram to sacrifice to God. Do you see what I'm saying? So what you
and
require,
I understand you so much. And what I want to say is, ladies and gentlemen, we want to thank Ron for all of that information. He will be back with us hopefully again, maybe this week, Ron, or next week, because we have Friday this week. Will you be back with us?
I'm sure I will.
Okay, well, he'll be back
with
us, and he has a ton of information to give us. We've given him this slot and this time. We want to thank him so much. Now, I want to tell
you,
people, we haven't forgotten about the health awareness. We want you to still understand that the topic that we talked about, the low birth rate babies that are actually being delivered through our professional women and the statistics that we had on that, I want to remind you, I want you to go out and do some homework and research what is happening with the low birth rate infants and low birth rate infants. And why are so many of our affluential middle class African American women delivering low birth rate children now? One of the doctors confirmed that in his studies, he has discovered that there has been partiality and racism shown to these professional women on the job to the point that it's affecting the actual secretion of the synovial secretion that affects the baby in the womb to the point of being underdeveloped. Now, that gentleman has put together YouTube and materials out there. I want you to go out, pull that information, study it, look at it, because if our influential women who are well paid, who can afford an excellent diet with the basic food for groups, are feeding their children well and they're eating well, how can their children be born here at a low birth rate? What is causing and what is going on in that boardroom where there is so much conflict and stress and strife and racism that these excellent entrepreneurs, professional women are having to be stressed out even in the womb? And their babies are listening to conversations in the womb that's causing these children to come here. Small infants, small enough to fit into the hand, and they have developed all of these outstanding bills for these neonatals to have these children to have to stay in the hospital for weeks upon weeks till they're fully developed. So where is this coming from? And with this newfound statistics and data, how do we fight racism from the womb? I want you to all be on the lookout for it, because OMI has incorporated it into helping my babies from the bench. I want to help those affluential women as well. Come in if you've had a low birth rate baby. Call in. Talk about what has happened and transpired with your process of gestation, your 9 months. What happened during that time? Were you a happy camper? Were you functioning well on the job? Or were you receiving racial discrimination on the job and found that you were a recipient of your children coming here underweight because of the stresses on the work front? Most people are walking away from these jobs in professional positions, yes, 60,000 and above and plus, because they cannot stand the stress that they're going through, and it is also now being discovered that it's affecting their unborn fetus. We're working to help the babies from the bench. And we're going to do all that we can to get the training available to universities where their law students can be trained, as well as their judges, to understand what is best practice for our neonatal, for our unborn babies, for our early intervention. What is the least restrictive environment that those children can be brought into life on? It sure shouldn't be a stressful situation of racial discrimination destroying the babies from the womb. Now, this research was not done by African American, but a Eurocentric Caucasian. And he wanted it to be known that these professional women have been tracked over a 2-year period of time, some even longer. He has substantiated evidence upon evidence to show that all of the low birth rate babies that he monitored, their birth rate was affected, not by diet, not by nutritional 9-month neonatal pills that the mother took, but by the stresses that are in the workforce around the mother in her day-to-day job. Let's talk about it on Friday, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get it together so we can talk about it. And you always, sisters, always friends, we still want you to come in and light up those phone lines. We are still about the business of closing the gap of disparity. As you know, we are a family and consumer science company. We work with Project 2019 to close the gap of illiteracy and now financial literacy, and we're also working with the court system. Judges, if you're out there and you'd like to partner with us, there are funds through the federal government that will allow us to come and train your staff on the best practices for your infant and toddler cases. Let us help you adjudicate these cases, Judge. We do not want to see our children recycle back into the court system a second time. We are professionals as behavior therapists, which is what I am, a child development behavior therapist. I've worked in neonatal hospitals in Chicago, working in pathology. I've worked at St. Joseph Hospital in Chicago. I have the five-year background experience to work and understand the medical aspect. I've even set these children up on respirators in the hospital and watched these children struggle to live and to thrive. But you can help me as you partner with coming in this room to talk about the issues from helping babies from the bench. Now, later on this month, at the end of our segment, I do have DVD segments with the full process of working with babies from the bench that I'm going to make available on YouTube, and you can go out and see that. And you can see exactly what the courts and the judges are doing to make this process a more smooth process for our mothers who have lost parental rights to raising their own children. Help us out, ladies and gentlemen. And we're not just going to go out of here today. We're going to go out of here with a blast, ladies and gentlemen. And as I tell you every day, make sure that you're part of a solution and not a part of the problem. I want you to understand that this is an organization that is now connected with several other blog talk hosts, and one of them is Dino Dean. We are followers of each other. We are supporters, and we've been very actively looking at reparation. And as you know, I did a full-blown program for a month on reparation. We want you to come up to part. We want you to get on these phone lines and get on the horn and call in with your questions. We are giving you the best that we got. Giving you the best that we got. And I'm not going to bet it on my wedding ring because I don't have that no more. But I will tell you this much. You ought to be a part of helping your brothers and sisters, if nothing else but sounding the voice and speaking out on what issues are. Now, Sister Fadima was on the line with me today. We have been looking at some great opportunities to use these phone lines so that we can reach you. So help us to reach you by calling in daily, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. You know we have that one day off on Thursday. And Friday is our kick-it-up day, and we do have to dance out of here. So I want to get you in step so all you men line up and stand up so that we can get ready because we are winners, and we're going out of here winners today. And
y'all ready?
We'd like to thank you. Y'all ready?
Say yes!
Thank you.
Operating under the topic of family life education, telling us how to recirculate our dollars in the community, how to start up our businesses, as he described how he had to sell the family's car to get his business going. Ron is a wonderful gentleman who has done a lot of work in the community to help people in radio and TV, and I was one of them, and I wanted to let him know that I felt so gracious to be able to return the favor to him. He is definitely a man for his people and believes in his people. And we are grateful to have him here on our show during this segment of the hour. We are going to be offering him that spot permanently. So you'll hear more from Ron Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday, but not Thursday. We do periodically special segments on Saturday. However, you know how I like to have those sabbaticals, and I have to have my free time so that I can get ready for leisure. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to dip up out of here because our time is up here in the room, and your host, your emperor, and your advisor is here to serve you. I want you to know that every day I'm beating on the scene. What can I do to make a more complete and holistic listening audience satisfied with the service that we bring? We hope that we've been of service to you, and we like to say to you, thank you so much, but we'd like for you to light those phone lines up. Don't be a mystery. Don't be a surprise. Be a friend and come on in, because I know that with those 34 followers, you've asked me to follow you. Now, I'm looking for some of you to follow me. You know the days that I'm on. Come on in this room. Come on in this room. You know who you are. Dino Dean, we'd like for you to join us throughout the week at least one day. I know you're only on one day a week, so you have that time open. Come on in and help the sister out and be a voice in the community like I know you can. And we're just grateful to all of you listeners for continuing to follow us. And we like to say on that note, we're going to be leaving now. Our time is up. We say, oh, double. But I got to disappear. Come on, Cal, and help me do my disappearing act.
The track, man.
D.A.
Oh,
we will see you.
About to close, so tell me what's gonna happen. Am I going with you? How you coming with me? My girl's not around, and your man just set you free.
Baby, I'm your destination.
Baby girl, I can do magic. I'm making this appear. and can come through.
Hey, baby, I'm your destination.
Have a great evening.